Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty or the favor of the Lord, and to meditate, or the word can mean to inquire, in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And again, just a couple of things here. We mentioned that the first six verses have a different tone, it seems, than verses 7 through 14, and that commentators are all over the place on what is the connection, if they could find the connection, all the way down to some people think these are two psalms that ended up being merged together in this. I do not believe that. I think it's one psalm that David, and it's been preserved here in our Bibles under the providence of the Lord. And so I asked myself, and I've been asking myself, what is the tie here? Now, I'm going to give to you what I think the tie is, but I just want to remind you again that in light of the fact that there's a lot of disagreement and a lot of different ideas, I'm presenting to you what I am persuaded of. But you'll have to evaluate that on your own, okay? So if we walk out of here and, you know, we have a little difference or you just can't see it or whatever, I'll perfectly understand that as we go through. Now, my study in this has been a lot more in the Hebrew text than some other studies that I've done, so what I'm going to give to you is flowing out of that study. And there's a little key here, I think, in these 14 verses. It is but a little key, but I think it is a significant key. And I'm going to try to explore that next Wednesday, Lord willing. But here's the key. The key is given to us in verse 13. And that is, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the key here is translated in our English text, the goodness of the Lord. Everybody see that in your Bibles? The goodness of the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, that is the phrase, Tov Yahweh. And Yahweh, or Yahweh, sometimes people do that, or English translation would be Jehovah. The little word Tov is a very interesting word, and it is a word that has a lot of different meanings. In other words, if I told my wife that she was Tov Ma'od, she'd be very happy about that. And the reason is because I just told her that she is most beautiful. And you can also use the word Tov to indicate the word, well, sometimes it's translated as good. That the Lord saw everything that He has made and it was Tov. It was good. But you kind of get the sense of the word there, right? And you say, well, what makes the goodness of the Lord? What is the key there? Well, the key there is this, is that there is a section in our Bible that talks about the goodness of the Lord by the Lord Himself, and that is Exodus 34. Now, we're not going to turn there. We're going to turn there next week. But Moses is seeking the Lord for the Lord's favor in a very difficult circumstance. And he asked the Lord to see His glory. And God says, I will make all my goodness. That's the word Tov. So you could translate it this way. I will make all my beauty. Right? I'll make all my goodness pass before you. This is the goodness of the Lord. And as I was looking through here and I began to, you know, somewhere along the line, I thought, I've seen that somewhere before. I wonder if David's got to be basing this upon this. When I saw that, it just kind of cracked open this psalm for me. And let me give you what I think this psalm is dealing with. I think that the theme of this psalm that unites the two sections is David's desire for God's favor in his life. Okay, now you think about Moses. What was he seeking God for on behalf of Israel? God's goodness, His favor, right? Here in this passage, when you look down in verse 4, he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the... You remember what I told you the root of that Hebrew word meant? Mm-hmm. Favor. To behold the favor of the Lord. Then you have in verse 13, he said, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. Well, what would be the goodness that David is looking for from the Lord? Well, it would be His favor. His favor how? Well, delivering him from his enemies. Right? Okay, it starts off that way, right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? All right, here's the situation. When evildoers came, well, the Lord delivered me. What if a host comes against me? My heart will not fear. What if war rises against me? Well, I will be confident. And then what is the prayer request? The prayer request down here is this, that David would receive the Lord's help, verse 12, and be delivered from the desire of his who? Of his enemies. He's seeking the what of the Lord? The favor of the Lord. Everybody see that? And I think seeking the favor of the Lord really opens up this psalm and really helps us to understand it. Now, I realize it'd be controversial because we're looking at translation issues. We're just looking at a lot of things. But let me give us five things that I think seemingly point to this theme that I presented here for you. And that is, number one, is that David mentions God's light and God's salvation and God's protection in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life. Those are all indications of God's favor toward us, right? In other words, we dwell in darkness. What do we need? We need light. Okay, we're fallen creatures. What do we need? Deliverance or salvation. Every day we live in an Ecclesiastes world where death is pursuing us. What do we need every day? We need the strength not to die, right? We need the strength for other people to be at peace with us, right? All of these things that are out there, the circumstances that come into our life, we need is salvation, right? We need to be delivered from all this. And what about protection? Do you need protection? Well, when was the last time you drove on Virginia's highways? Okay. I remember one time I was riding down the road and I was thinking about the Lord and I was thinking about His protection and it just hit me. You know, if the Lord didn't keep everybody's eyes on the road, I'd be crashed. Right? If the Lord didn't keep sleepy people alert, we'd have all kinds of crashes, right? There's this Ecclesiastes sense, not only just of vanity, but death always pressing down upon us. And so the Lord being protection. And then you have those times where that actually happens, right? Where people are out to get you. Or what if you're in a nation and war comes in? We talked about Syria and there's believers there, right? Talk about Korea. There's believers there, right? They need protection. Okay, China, other, all the other places of the earth. And so all of these things, the light, the salvation, the protection or the defense of his life, all of those, brethren, upon a lost sinner like David, is a sign of God's favor. It's his goodness upon us, isn't it? And so the very fact that you know the Lord, is that not His goodness? The very fact that you understand things from Scripture, is that not His goodness? The very fact your heart is inclined toward Him, is that not His goodness? So you got all of these indications, right? People say to me sometimes, well, I just don't see the Lord. I see Him everywhere. Okay. And so I think that is kind of pointing to this fact that this psalm is dealing with David's desire for favor in his life. Secondly, David desired, verse 4, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And I think that, of course, extends beyond life on this earth. But I think because he's believing he's going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I think he's talking about dwelling in the Lord's house and beholding. And we talked about the beauty of the Lord, right? And that's not the word tov, it's another word, but that word could be translated favor. In other words, he wants to go into God's house, and in the circumstances of his life, he wants to give thanksgiving to God for God's goodness being upon him. Everybody see that? He's going to talk about that later, that God's goodness. And there he is in the house of the Lord to behold the favor of the Lord and to meditate or to inquire in his temple. And is David not inquiring in this psalm? Mm-hmm. He is inquiring, isn't he? And what is he inquiring for? That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the favor of the Lord in his life. And just to make a little application, don't you want to see that in our church? Evidences of God's favor. And doesn't it excite you when you see it? Okay? We heard this testimony of an opportunity to witness. That was the goodness of the Lord opening that up. Amen? Or, you know, the testimony about Becky. That was the goodness of the Lord providing and opening up that opportunity. So you have all of these things that are going on, and he wants to be in that house to behold that favor. Look down at verse 6. He says, "I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'll sing, yes, I'll sing praises to the Lord." This is a man who's seen the goodness of the Lord, seen the favor of the Lord. He's excited about it, right? And he's going to give praise to God for what God has done there in his life. And brother, I just want to encourage you. There's no greater thing than to come to the house of the Lord and make it a New Testament application. To behold his favor when your eyes are opened, you understand the scripture, you know what it is saying, you have a movement in your heart to obey, you have the grace to do that. That ought to give you enough excitement to have shouts of joy as evidence of God's favor. Amen? I mean, that ought to be there. But see, we have a tendency to think, no, I understood it because I got this great educational ability. Well, I hate to say this, but who gave you that educational ability? Well, that would be his goodness, okay? But my point of it is we take things as if it originated with us. But did our Lord not say to Peter, "Peter, you didn't come up with this yourself. My heavenly Father has opened up that truth to you." So again, this was God's favor that he wanted to see. And you'll notice in verses 5 through 6, I've already talked a little bit about this, but this is the result of seeing God's favor. He wanted to behold the favor of the Lord and to meditate or to inquire in his temple. And then he gives an illustration of the day of trouble and being delivered from it. "For in the day of trouble, he'll conceal me in his tabernacle." That's his favor. "In the secret place of his tent, he'll hide me. He'll lift me up on a rock. My head will be lifted up above my enemies round about." That's goodness, isn't it? That's his favor. It's not happening to David because he's better than someone else. Amen? I mean, folks, this is the man that commits adultery, right? This is the man that commits bloodshed. This is the man who feigns insanity by dribbling against the wall. David's not, you know, better. He's still sinful. Just like you and I are still sinful. And folks, if you think you're getting God's favor because you're better than someone else, you have robbed yourself of joy. So first of all, the mention of God's light and his salvation and his protection, these all are indications of God's favor. Secondly, the fact that David desired to behold God's favor in verse 4. And the result of God's favor was his salvation or was his rescue in the day of trouble, verses 5 through 6. Then thirdly, the Lord had already manifested his favor in David's life. And let me just show you two places here. Look at verse 1 again. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Now note verse 2. "When evildoers came upon me." Future, present, past tense, right? David's looking back and he is seeing evidences of God's favor in his life, right? "So when those enemies came upon me to devour my flesh..." Well, what happened? "My adversaries and my enemies, they're the ones who stumble and fell." Well, who did that? The Lord did that, didn't he? And so David looks back. You think about Goliath. He stumbled and fell because he got hit with a rock, right? Well, who did that? David knew that it was the Lord, and he said, "I'm coming to you not in my own name or my own strength. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." And the Lord delivered him. And brethren, you can look back in your Christian life And even before you became a born-again believer and see evidences of God's favor in your life. I'm just not talking about car wrecks. I mean, I'm talking about real God's favor in your life. And folks, that strengthens you. And because David had seen God's favor in the past, David is emboldened to pray for God's favor presently. Secondly, look at verse 9. He says, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger." Now note this. You have been my what? Future? Past tense. Everybody see that? You have been my help. So don't abandon me now. I need your favor. I need your help. Okay? And so the Lord had shown David gracious favor in the past. And what it did as he recalled those events is it anchored him. It gave him stability in light of his need for future mercies. And look at verse 3. He says, "Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be what?" The word confident there means to feel secure. Now how? David could feel secure of what? God's favor, because he had seen God's favor in the past. Yes? And he had seen God deliver him in the past. And so that built his faith, as it were, to stand absolutely secure, even if my circumstances changed and I had a whole host or an army come against me. It doesn't mean he won't fear, but it means this. The Lord will show his favor and deliver me. And of course, God did that, didn't he, in his life. So that would be a third indication of this theme, that David is desiring God's favor in his life. And then fourthly, if you translate the word meditate in verse 4 to meditate in this temple, which is a valid translation, by the way, but it's equally valid to translate the Hebrew word inquire, which is what I would favor. David is inquiring the Lord for what? If I'm right, what is David inquiring the Lord for? God's favor. Or I could word it this way, God's goodness. And the reason why he can do that is because he had heard something and he had acted on it. Look at verse 8. "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I will what?'" All right, now I want to point out some things here in your English text. Notice the beginning of that is italicized. Everybody see that? What's the words there that are italicized? Okay, everybody see that? That means they're trying to smooth it out. But "when you said" is not in the Hebrew text. Okay. So that's first of all. The second thing that you don't see in your English translation is that the phrase "when you said, seek my face." Everybody see that? Seek my what? All right. The subject, the imperative there, it's a command, is plural. It's not "the Lord said to David as an individual, seek my face." It's that "the Lord said to a plurality of people, seek my face." And you say, why is that important here? Because folks, when God gave commandments to the nation of Israel, how many in that nation was he addressing? Okay. That would be plural, right? But folks, who is he really addressing in that nation? You remember Romans says they are not all Israel who are Israel. In other words, the promises were spoken, plurality, right? To the whole nation. But who were they to reach? Believers. Okay? So, verse 8, when you said, seat my face, the you there is plural. He's speaking to the nation. All right? But my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Is that plural or singular? That's singular. In other words, David heard the promise given to the nation, and David believed it. And he began to seek God's face. For what? The same thing he's inquiring in the temple for. God's favor. And folks, God says the same thing to us. It's like me preaching. I could say, church, seek God's face. All right? But what do I want from that? I want you as an individual to say, your face, O Lord, I will seek, right? Okay. Does everybody respond to the sermon?
No.
No. But believing people within that plurality do. And so what God is saying is, seek my face for my favor. Your face, O Lord, I'll seek. I will seek your favor. And God actually gave it to him. And by the way, just to kind of point ahead a little bit, in Exodus 33 and 34 was Moses seeking God's favor.
Yes.
Was God's face involved in that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said, Moses, you can't see my face because you won't live. But I'll show you my backside. Okay, and we'll talk about that. But the face, the seeking, the inquiring, the fact that Moses is in the tent of meeting, all of that has parallels to what we're looking at right here. And so, to seek my face, and folks, hopefully I'll show you this later, but to have God's face in the Old Testament, to have God's face shine upon you as an individual or your family or a collective group of people was to know God's favor. When the psalmist says, Lord, let your face shine upon us, he's asking for God's favor. He's asking for God's goodness to be on that nation. Revive us again, that our hearts might seek after you. He's praying for God's favor upon us. And then fifthly, and I've already mentioned this, but fifthly in verse 13, David would have fallen unless he had full persuasion that he could behold God's favor presently. Verse 13, I would have despaired. Note that's italicized again. They're trying to smooth this out translation-wise. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord when? After he dies? In the land of the living. That's the now and now, right? And so, folks, my proposition to you, I hope I've proved it, or at least I've said, you said maybe, okay? With these five things, is that the tie and the theme of all this is David desiring God's favor. He had had in the past, he had a need in the present, and he wanted God's favor, and he wanted to behold that in the land of the living, the goodness of God. Now, folks, I want to ask you this. I got one more point, but I want to ask you this right now. Do you and I, as a church, believe that if we seek God's favor,
that He would show it. I'm talking about, do we have need as a church?
Yes.
Okay. Do we believe, or are we fainting? Now I'm going to say I fainted before. But do we believe that if we go to the Lord and we seek His face, we seek His favor, that we would behold the beauty, the favor of the Lord, the goodness of God in the land of the living? See, that's a big question that we have to ask ourselves. Because when you think about Israel going all those years without a temple, all those years in Babylonian captivity, when things get long, you begin to despair that God's favor is actually going to fall on you. And then sometimes you say to yourself, well, you know, I'm just too big a sinner. I sin too much. You know, my past I sinned. I'm in this mess. Just like Israel in the Babylonian captivity. Why were they there?
Their sins.
Should they not inquire for God's favor? Well, Daniel did. Was Daniel a sinner? He said, we sinned. But he's seeking the Lord for God's favor. Now I want to close by looking at the very last verse here. Verse 14, all the way down here through verse 13, it's been David. David and the Lord, it's been singular, I this, I that. But in verse 14, we have three imperatives. Wait for the Lord, that'd be the first one. Be strong and let your heart take courage, that'd be the second. And then fourthly, wait for the Lord. Yes, wait for the Lord, that'd be the third one. And folks, all of these imperatives are plural. In other words, what David's done is he has told you his prayer. And he has told you this one thing I desire in the house of the Lord. I desire God's goodness to be on my life. So verse 14. Plural. He's speaking to the congregation, as it were. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord for what? His favor, what you're praying for, right? Wait for the Lord. You say, well, what is it going to take for me to wait on the Lord? Well, be strong and be strengthened. Because that's what it's going to take, right? For you to maintain a persuasion that I can seek the Lord and I desire to behold His favor and that His favor will what? It will come. That takes grace, doesn't it? It takes strength to be able to do that. And then I love the way it finishes. Wait for the Lord. That's a command to everyone who hears this psalm. Be strong and let your heart take courage. That's an imperative to everyone that hears this psalm. And it's like David says, yes. Every one of you, wait for the Lord. Why? Because David is absolutely confident that God's going to show His goodness. Right? And folks, David's not special. If God would show David His goodness as a believer, then God is going to show His people His goodness as believers. So folks, I want to ask you this. Will your heart respond tonight and say, Lord, when You said, seek My face for My favor, my heart echoed, Your face, O Lord, I will seek for Your favor. Your beauty is His goodness. His goodness is His favor. Let's pray.